Hello and welcome to What's Brewing CISFA. What's Brewing CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Oh, Dana.
Boy, oh boy.
It's a Friday for sure.
Friday.
Lord, I mean, I may have taken the week off, but...
Man...
I tell you,
we were talking during the pre-show. I think maybe you need to take a vacation from the vacation, right? Like,
absolutely,
yeah.
My, like I said though, my biggest concern on that is the law of diminishing returns. You know, so yeah. At some point, you know, you're trying to actually use vacation as vacation, but you know, you got to keep up on a few things. There's always emails from somebody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That need to get responded to. And so my concern is always 1 week, skip a few meetings, no big deal. 2 weeks, somebody really needs to talk to you. Could be faculty or staff.
Mm-hmm.
Could be students, and you don't want to, you know, hold off on students if you can. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's that. So, but I think I'm going to do your thing, which is come summer, I'm going to look at my vacation hours. And if I need to, I'm going to take 2 weeks.
In the summer, yeah.
And I'm going to act like my phone is broken.
Yeah, because you need the first week to decompress and then the second week to actually enjoy your vacation.
I still have things on my to-do list that roll from every other week to every other week because of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I should be on top of this. I've got, you know, other side projects and, you know, looking at the next podcast thing we have to do. You know, it's just one of these things that, yeah, it just gets in front of you. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, it's Friday already. Well, now I want to just burn off time between now and coming back to work on Monday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
You guys, you and Marisol, our supervisor, everyone listening. You guys get hundreds of emails a week, don't you?
Yeah. You know, the only good time that I had was when I took a week off during our spring break. Mm-hmm. It was good in the sense that most other people were gone. You know, our faculty were gone, our counselors. So that means less coming from them. Students who that figured it out, it was spring break because not all of them did. They slowed down their emails. But yeah, this week, it's still like it's back to normal. It's like 100 a day.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
We should create
some type of software or AI.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, organizes. Because I know you can do, like, set up rules and stuff for your emails. Because I do for mine.
Me too.
But, like, literally when the email is sent, okay, this goes directly into junk mail. Or this goes into this inbox. Or this over here, like...
I've tried to do that as much as possible with reading material. So I have a folder inside my inbox called reading.
Oh, yes.
So everything from like NASFA news.
Yeah. Same here.
What is now called FSA Partner Connect and their daily or weekly logs of what's new from Federal Student Aid. Those get shuffled in. CSAC special announcements. Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, sometimes I think it gets a little lazy because I'm still getting plenty of stuff in my inbox that I need to shuffle off to the reading, but I do it right away. So, you know, unless it says urgent and has my name in it, it gets off into the reading folder. And I look at the reading folder usually twice a week at the most. Sundays at the minimum, mainly because Sunday is usually the day that I put together the news day on the podcast. So I take all that reading material and then, you know, create the show out of it.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're right. You can set up rules. Like I've set up before on the show, I think, or maybe during the roundtables, or maybe just in general talking to people, there are rules for certain people in our district that overuse the reply all button.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That gets shuffled off to a folder that says confinement. So I also get the rest of the conversation. If there is conversation from the people who don't need to be treated like that. But some people, again, I know these are also people who don't send me a lot of direct emails. They get sent off to confinement.
Okay.
And so once a week at the most, I will go through that folder.
All right.
And I will say one email a year is one that's directly for me. So that person's really only waited 5 days.
Oh, okay.
But gotcha. I've taken out the thank yous and that's great and all the other emails and go to a list, you know, go back to a group of 40 people or whatever every time. You know.
Mine is called, yours is called confinement. Mine is called supermassive black hole.
There you go. I like that. You know, you need somewhere to.
Shout out to Muse. Shout out to Muse. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. You just have to put that somewhere. Yes. You got the right idea. Because, yeah, I'm still waiting to get to read the book on my nightstand, you know, what's it, the end of email or something like that? Or no more emails or something from Cal Newport. It's okay. Definitely, I want to know what his thoughts are. I guess I've read a review about the book. It's not about the end of email as much as it is the things we're talking about as far as how you handle email.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then also personal habits. Don't check your email, you know, like after 6 o'clock at night. I know so many people, you look at their phone and all, and I rather see people looking at cat videos all day long on their phone at, you know, like after six, than see them having to scroll through emails. None of us have that important of a job. You know, it's kind of like when cell phones were not quite everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like I remember my saying was like when I would do like a entrance counseling loan workshop and I saw a student with a cell phone. Let's say this was like, I don't know, 1999, 2000 era.
Okay.
You know, I was like, you need to put that away. Because again, they were not smartphones to start with for many people, or they're just coming about. But, you know, again, in my mind thought, I was like, what would be the drawing line? Well, I guess if you're military and you're about to be called up, or you're some kind of emergency responder.
I see. Yeah, you got to check frequently.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But everything else, no. I mean, what did our parents do back in the day?
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, if you wanted to get a hold of Dana.
Smoke signals.
Back in 1986.
Oh, my gosh.
She better be home. And or the answering machine might have to be working.
If you had one, yeah.
Unless your parents paid for it and mine wouldn't be too cheap to have done this. If you don't have call waiting, you better hope no one else is on the line.
Oh, you took
a busy signal.
Man, you took it way back now.
My next album is going to be called Busy Signal because that's none of the young people will understand what it's about.
My goodness.
What are they talking about? Yes, a busy signal. You would call your friend at their house, from your house, from a phone that was tied by a wire to the wall. And potentially, if the phone was really old, had a wheel on it with the numbers.
Yes, that's called a rotary phone, everybody.
Rotary phone, everyone. And if you called them and somebody else was on the phone at that house at the time, you got a busy signal. Mm-hmm. I wish I had it as a sound effect. I will have to dig that out some point and replay that for our younger listeners.
Man.
Because, again, you wouldn't know. Again, because call waiting was, you had to pay for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my parents wasn't going to pay for that.
Right. No. If you called and the phone line was busy,
that was it.
Call back later.
Exactly. Then you try like 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Try to get a hold of your friend. And then like with one friend from high school, we live, I think it was exactly a mile apart. You know, at some point it'd be like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to get on the bike and then bicycle over, you know? Or when I had my motor scooter, same thing. I'm just going to go see my friend. Mm-hmm. And see if he's home. And of course he was home. And what was it? You know, mom was gabbing on the phone with aunt or an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Man. We just went down the rabbit hole right now.
I know. Why don't, I got an idea.
Okay.
Seeing that on Tuesday was kind of a flim-flam show that was, you know, talking topics for future shows, which I'm working on emailing to people slowly to try to get them into some kind of schedule for new interviews and roundtables. Mm-hmm. Let's make today the news day.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. So let's do a few news articles. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and finish them up. But I got a lot of them here for us all. So I'll start it off. FSA announced that they are retiring the FSA ID website. In an electronic announcement posted April 19th, FSA, which is Federal Student Aid, will retire the FSA ID website and reroute people to the studentaid.gov website. Starting last Sunday, April 25th, people using the old URL, fsaid.ed.gov, will get rerouted. Considering the studentaid.gov website has been well updated over the last 2 years, direct links to sites like FSAID and the FAFSA site have been rerouted for simplicity for all users. So go out and spread the word to your friends.
And here's another update from the FSA people. Volume 1 of the 2021-2022 FSA Handbook has been posted for your use. Right now, only the PDF version is available, but the fully digital version is coming. We'll include the link to available 2021-2022 volumes in our show notes.
You know, Dana, I do download the PDFs for our staff.
Hey, have you ever looked for it?
Yes, I do. Have you ever looked for it?
I'm going to be, no. Okay. I Google it.
Okay.
If I need to, thank you for telling me.
I do. I keep.
Thank you for telling me.
Because yes, in the olden days until this last year, they would create the PDFs of the individual volumes and I would download them as they became available and put them in a folder and I'd rename them so that they'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the EFC guide. Mm-hmm. The guide for application and verification is a completely separate thing of its own. And then there's a couple other pieces that are related to the handbook. But yeah, I've been downloading them and putting them in folders so that everyone can find them as
all they, this time. That's yes. what you've been doing.
I'm sure I've said it a few times during staff meeting, but again, it's one of those, if you're not using it, you know, well, it is what it is.
And it's one of those situations where like, you don't realize you need it until you're in a situation.
That's right.
Like,
yeah. Now, let me ask you, and again, this show is just going to be all about how old is Dennis. Do you remember the day when Department of Ed would send you paper copies of the handbook?
Yes.
Do you remember those days?
Yes.
So you get like a couple copies.
Uh-huh.
Shrink-wrapped chapters.
Yep.
Hole punched, ready to go in a binder.
And then just keep them in the little bookshelf.
That's right. So you'd get about one copy, maybe two for your office.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they would arrive again. Sometimes they arrive piecemeal. Here's the thing. This is the funny thing for those outside of financial aid. So the federal government obviously has rules and regulations. It's in the law. It's in what they call the CFR, which is like the Comprehensive Federal Regulations Guide, which is all federal regulations across all parts of government. And then, obviously, with student aid, you don't want to spend time reading 10,000 pages to get to your 100 pages. They create the Federal Student Aid Handbook for Working Professionals. And it's usually like 6 volumes plus some other items. And back in the day when it was printed, it would fill a big binder, right? Right, mm-hmm. Dana? It was like a big binder, and it was like pretty full. that's the guide that you go by. Mm-hmm. And so, again, they printed it back in the olden days. But here's the funny thing about FSA, and this being a guide for the coming school year, you sometimes get the pieces way into the school year, you know, way past the point. You know, like the verification guide might not come till May for the coming fall, but you've been doing verification of student files since, you know, March and April. Or you won't get the chapter on student loans till Christmas time, the middle of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that the federal government, again, because the guide doesn't change a whole lot.
Right.
Just kind of assumes that you know what you're doing and that if there's some real big update, they'll send it to you some other way.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, you never get them all before the start of a school year, which I always have found a little funny. Actually, I find that very funny. I find it so funny. I may need to take a drink of water here and give ourselves a little break. A little music break.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Yeah, it was time to do a refill here. And seeing that we're doing that refill, before we continue on, I'm going to, busy here, cut and paste, Dana. We've got so many more news articles this week than normal that I need to move them down in our script so that we don't get lost in this show. Because, I'm sure I've got some, very esoteric information to fill in for my I Dare You to Read section. So we don't want to leave that off the map.
No, we don't.
No, I mean, we need to give everybody everything they can get out of this show. So let's go on with the news then. So not specifically a financial aid item, but there was an interesting article on the University Business Magazine website. It was a conversation piece with Michael Huseby, who is the CEO of Barnes & Noble Education, and it feeds off of a recently released report from his organization regarding the future of higher education. The report, titled College 2030, Transforming the Student Experience, goes into the current state of higher education and looks at the coming decade and what we need to do in three key areas: the academic experience, evaluating the value of education, and work on creating a seamless, customized student services experience. The one word I took out of the report that seems to be the overarching thought on all of this is personalization. The report really points to how our industry, higher education, needs to work to develop a more personalized approach to educational offerings, student services, and the direction in the coming years. Now, the good thing is, just like with books, they're better when they're shorter. The report isn't that long, just 18 pages, and we'll include a link to the article and where you can download the report for free in our show notes.
All right. Hey, Dennis, did you see the article on Politico that the Cal State and UC system will require students, faculty, and staff to be fully vaccinated before returning for the fall semester?
No, I'd heard rumblings of that from some others, but no, I hadn't seen that yet.
Okay, well, right now it's just a proposal pending FDA approval, but it could affect nearly 1 million people, 800,000 of which are students. Considering both systems are looking to resume in-person instruction in the fall, this could be a really big thing. Now, students and faculty and staff will be able to request medical or religious exemptions, but the sheer number of people who get vaccinated could grow quickly if they all want to return to campus. I don't think any of the California community colleges have announced similar plans, but Stanford University recently announced a plan similar to the Cal State and UC plan. Find out more in the Politico article link in our show notes.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my assumption is that we'll probably see this kind of approach at many schools until they hit a legal roadblock. Mm-hmm. But I think if they're going to build in the exemptions for, again, those that, for whatever medical reason, can't do mm-hmm. it, don't need to do it, or religious exemptions, you're probably well covered. You know, because, again, sometimes you have to make it where if you want a certain privilege, and in a sense, going to college is a privilege, you'll have to abide by certain things.
Right. Now, so far for us, the word on the street is no at this time.
I believe that is so for our LA Community College District. And mm-hmm. I don't think I've heard from anyone at any other community colleges in the state that they're being required to take it. So that's, good in the sense that we don't have a specific news, but I don't doubt there may be a district somewhere right out there. Mm-hmm. That maybe just based upon whatever reasoning, they'll say if you want to do your classes in person or work from your office, you got to maybe do that. But, I was just reading. I follow a website, Cal Matters. I think it's calmatters.org or .com. They kind of do a overview of the politics of the state and such. And then they always report out stuff related to COVID. I think the last update I got from a couple days ago indicate we're nearing 38% or more of Californians have now been double inoculated. So they've gone both shots. So, you know, we're getting pretty good numbers here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's better than nothing.
Yes. That's true. I mean, geez, 38% in what seems like just a matter of a couple months. So that's good news.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some other stuff out there here. Let's see here. From NASFA. For our NASFA members out there, the National Association is putting out the call to all of us that if we have something to highlight from our campus or have an opinion on how new policies and regulations are or will play out in offices, they want to hear from you. If you have thoughts or feel strongly maybe about a bill working its way through Congress, or you just have generally other thoughts about regulations and such, use the Your Thoughts link on the NASFA website. We'll include a link to this in our show notes for everybody.
On the state front, there is some news coming out of the California Student Aid Commission. CSAC announced the upcoming launch of the redesigned web grants for institutions coming to you May 10th.
Yay.
I know. It's about time.
Yes.
Feels like we've been waiting forever.
Yes, you have.
Yes, we have. So everyone, as part of the grant delivery system modernization project they've been working on this past couple of years, the update moves the website to a modern platform that is more secure and has improved features. Here are just some of the highlights of the new system: a refreshed look at web grant screens, an improved sign-on process using identity management, automated G21 functionality, that's the grant record change form for all of us, improved filtering for the Cal Grant display roster screen. There's more, but we want to save some of the news for you to read in the special alert posted to the CSAC website. Find the link in our show notes.
Yeah, that's all very good news to hear about.
Oh, man, that's a shout.
Yeah.
You know, you make me want to shout.
If people, yes, even if people outside of higher ed saw what web grants for. Which is the way that we access through the web stuff about Cal grants, look for staff and such like us, they would wonder if the system was built in the 90s. It reminds you of like the early days of Amazon and Yahoo.
Before
Google existed. Yeah. Yes. But I have to say, the state really put effort in. I was on a project review team of some sort for a while, but I had to take myself off due to time commitments, and it really took a lot of opinion into work through things to make the interface and everything else work so much better, and the back end. You know, they'd have been lobbying for money for years and wasn't getting it, but they have, I forgot what it was, like 40 million records or something. I mean, it's some amazing number of records. I could even be short on that are in their old system. So, you know, you got to think about that. You have this old-timey system. You got to convert it to a new system. Yep. And then the interface part on the front. So,
absolutely.
Well done, CSAC. That is great news. I can't wait to see it come May 10th.
It's popped in bottles.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dana, I was checking out one of our sister colleges' websites and found an article from the Pierce College student newspaper about how students are missing out on financial aid. Now, most of the article focuses on the issues that keep students from applying for aid, and this includes, you know, the standby concerns about the complicated FAFSA process and eligibility concerns. The college president at Pierce is quoted talking about FAFSA simplification, which we know is, coming in just a matter of a couple years now. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of eligibility issues that are brought to the forefront, including confirming high school completion, which, of course, you have to be a high school graduate to apply for aid, but that verification process of confirming that is a requirement for the Cal grants, too. So, you know, Dana, the one surprise from the article, considering the article is from Pierce College, I can't figure out how our incoming CSFA president, Anna Faye Robinson, the financial aid director at Pierce College, isn't quoted in the article.
What?
I know. Considering the subject matter and the fact that Anna Faye knows everything about financial aid, absolutely. And that has been certified now from NASFA, I was surprised that they, you know, miss out a great opportunity to get her perspective.
Especially because she's the director of financial aid at
PA. Yeah, you'd think that'd make a difference. Right. If, for no other reason, you know, she's the biggest expert in our field. Absolutely. And the director of financial aid.
My word.
You know, still the article is pretty decent. They do talk to the president at the college, and there's some stuff quoted there from the state chancellor, Eloy Oakley. So we'll put a link in the show notes, and then we'll razz Anna Faye later on this.
Okay, yeah, I think we should. We definitely have to do that. So, Dennis, you know what time it is, right?
I'm only afraid to ask.
It's time to remind you of some training opportunities for me and our listeners. Mm-hmm. So, NASFA is offering to their Value Plus level members the opportunity to sign up for their unlimited professional credentials package. This package includes unlimited credential tests for anyone on your college's NASFA roster. In conjunction with the NASFA U self-study guides, available as downloadable PDF guides, the package allows multiple staff to get credentials on numerous topics. The cost is only $2,400. Okay, Dennis, so it's not that bad. Exams are purchased on an individual basis using the promotional code you get with payment. Exams purchased have a 40-day testing window to complete 2 attempts. So if you're interested or need to convince your boss to let you in on this great deal, check out the link in our show notes to the NASFA website.
Very interesting there, Dana.
Yes.
We'll have to think about that. We'll definitely think about that.
All right. You know, really think about it. Don't make up your mind and then say you thought about it.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll work out a deal for you and the staff to do that. But I do need to see a return on investment.
Oh, of course.
Keep that in mind. So now here's some super interesting thing, which is almost like free training in my mind. FSA posted an electronic announcement earlier this week regarding the release of the updated 2021-2022 federal school list of participating schools. The list contains codes assigned by the Department of Education to schools that participate in federal Title IV student aid programs. And as before, Dana, I offer up the challenge to you and our listeners to memorize as many of these codes for schools as possible. Maybe we can do a prize for the best memorizer. Again, this makes me think of the book I read about, you know, Einstein and a whole world of memorization. And there's like literally a whole conference type of thing to go to. So for the list on this, if you want to start studying up, Dana, check out the electronic announcement. And we'll have a link in our show notes.
You got it, boss. Mm-hmm. So this next news item, you're gonna love. So now, Dennis, I know you might have balked at the NASFA training I talked about. Uh-huh. But as we close out today's news, did you see that the MSURSD is offering free?
You got me there on the word free. Yes.
Oh, everyone, the Minority Serving and Under-Resourced School Division is offering a 2-part virtual spring-summer training workshop series. The training focuses mainly on federal Title IV compliance, sole financial aid, physical affairs, student accounts, bursars, registrars, and more can attend and learn. The training consists of 6 modules on functions that come up most frequently as repeat findings in audits and program reviews. And there will be other updates on Title IV rules, regulations, and regulatory guidance. The best thing, again, it's free.
Ah.
So for more information, check the link in our show notes.
Dana, I will definitely take that one under consideration.
I know you will.
We can't miss out on this, everybody.
Can't miss that one.
It's free. Okay.
It's free.
All right. Let's slide our way into our last segment here, Dana, with a little bit of music. And just like that, we are back for the last part of the show. We are back for the last sip. We'll get the last sip in here before we do our last parts. Dana, I dare to ask, Any I dare you to selection for this week for anybody?
Not today. Still, okay. You know, but still, you know, encourage you guys to check out Questlove Supreme podcast.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
How about yourself, Dennis?
For me, I have a book. It is on a rare subject that no one else will care about, but it's called Wristwatch Annual 2020. It's a soft cover book.
Oh, boy.
So it's the catalog of producers, prices, models, and specifications for wristwatches.
My word.
They put one out every year. It's a nice soft cover guide. But here's why I buy it. This is now they definitely cover things like Casio and maybe some Timex. But there are all the extremely expensive brands in here too.
Okay.
So if you want to know about Jaeger LeCoultre, I think that's the way to say it, you'll find out that they have a Master Ultra Thin Tourbillon Enamel in this blue here. Kind of a pretty watch.
Okay, everybody, Dennis is showing.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. 50 pieces only, $88,500 a piece.
Oh, boy. So just, you know, every organ in my body.
Yes. Yeah. So I put that out there. Wristwatch Annual. I get it. And then when I get old copies, I send it to my brother who works on watches as a side gig. So it's just interesting to see how the other half of the world lives.
Man.
I hope.
Say it again. How much again?
$88,000. Oh, and let me help you out.
That's my firstborn child right there.
Let me help you out. Not even close to the most expensive watch.
Oh, no, no. That's probably like an appetizer.
Yes.
You know.
This would be the one you wear when your $500,000 watch is broken.
Yes. Absolutely. I know there are some insanely priced watches out there. Yes.
Absolutely. All right, Dana. Well, that's about all that we have time for today. We don't want to bore everyone with my watch and stuff, but we'll bring it up again when you least expect it. So I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find us on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 86, recorded the morning of Friday, April 30th, 2021.
Everyone, have a great day.
And have a great weekend.